It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. This election season, Wisconsin Public Radio is meeting people where they are in their communities to talk about the issues that matter most to them. As part of our ongoing conversations about the Beyond the Ballot Project, we look at how Wisconsinites are affected by political division. Have you seen political polarization affect your community? How has your vote changed over time? Did you used to vote split ticket but don't anymore? Is political division the most or one of the most important issues this election season? And why or why not? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is our email address, and you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jonah Ralston is an assistant professor of political science at UW-Whitewater, and he's the coordinator of the university's public policy and administration program. And Jonah, thank you for joining us this morning.
And thank you for having me.
And we welcome Bridget Bowden to the program. Bridget is a special project reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio and project manager of Beyond the Ballot. Bridget, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Bridget, you're here with us today to offer an update on Beyond the Ballot, WPR News Election Year Project. We'll let Tim Randerson kick us off.
So Tim is from Manitowoc, and he has something to say that we hear a lot as we go around interviewing people.
This country is very divided and needs my input.
Bridget, how often does this issue, political division, come up in conversations with Wisconsinites?
It's one of the top issues. We are asking very vague questions, things like, what is the most important issue to you this election season? And people bring up political division a lot. It's something that people are concerned about.
Jonah, I want to hear from you here. How has division changed over time?
Yeah, well, I think what people are feeling is actually borne out by the evidence on this as well. Particularly since the 90s, there's been an uptick in the amount of division in the country, politically speaking. And so how you can see that is if you look at surveys about people's policy views between Republicans and Democrats. Used to be a lot of overlap in the public on that question, particularly if you go back even as recent as the 90s. And then you take a look nowadays, and what you'll find is that more often than not, you have Democrats falling into more consistently liberal positions, Republicans falling into more consistently conservative positions. And then, of course, at the elite level with politicians, their voting patterns are so divided now, you actually have to look back into the late 1800s to the Civil War period to actually find voting patterns as polarized as they are now.
So you're saying that we haven't been divided like this since about the Civil War?
Well, at least in terms of voting, yes, by the House and the Senate. And that's probably disconcerting a bit, considering what was happening during that time period.
What does this look like in Wisconsin, Jonah?
So in Wisconsin, I think the best example of this is Milwaukee and those surrounding counties of Waukesha, Washington, and Ozaukee. And so when you take a look at those counties, you'll see that around Milwaukee, it's very red. And in fact, voting patterns there often approach over 70% for the Republican candidate. When you go into Milwaukee, the city, what you find is that the voting patterns are, in some areas, well over 90% in favor of the Democratic candidate. That divide is actually one of the most stark, politically polarized urban areas in the country.
Hey, you compared this to, in a recent presentation, you compared this to Chicago, and quite a different picture there. Compare those two for just a moment.
Sure, yeah. You know, interestingly enough, we think of Chicago, of course, as Democratic politics, but when you take a look at Chicago and its surrounding areas, what you have is a lot more mixing. So, you know, we'd say that would be look a little bit more purple, right, as you go out. Because there's actually some areas that are voting, you know, slightly Republican, some voting slightly Democrat. The city itself is pretty Democratic, but there's a lot more mixing around it. That certainly is not the case in Milwaukee, where it really is a stark divide between those surrounding Republican-leaning areas and the Democratic-leaning city.
Well, let's consider what this looks like for voting behavior. What can we learn if we look at split-ticket voting, for example?
Something surprising about that, and maybe not surprising to a lot of listeners, you know, who maybe perhaps were split-ticket voting at one point and are doing less of that nowadays. But, you know, over 1 in 4 voters, just as recently as the late 90s, would be splitting their tickets. That's down to less than 1 out of 20 now. So almost 25% and above at one point in recent history, down to less than 5% now. And I think that's actually captured by, as people remember, in the state when we had Governor Tommy Thompson, a Republican, in the 90s. But at the same time, there were 2 Democratic senators being voted in, Feingold and Cole.
Well, let me turn this back to our listeners here. Did you used to vote maybe split ticket, but now vote straight ticket? If so, what changed for you? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Bridget Bowden, let's bring Mary Lou Shaw into the conversation. Who is she and what's her take?
So we met Mary Lou a little while back. She's from Beloit, and divisiveness is a huge issue for her as well. So here's what she has to say.
Well, yeah, you just see so much about everybody working against each other instead of together.
Jonah, what are the major effects of political division? How does this affect us?
Well, I think the most tangible, at least in terms of the political sphere, is that, you know, less gets done. Obviously, when you just want either A or B, and there's no compromise C, politics works most effectively when, in fact, there is compromise. So we've actually seen a precipitous drop over time in recent years in the number of new bills that are put forward, particularly the bills that are passed. I think we've all seen that play out on the national scene with how difficult to pass anything these days is.
If you look at the numbers of bills passed in Congress these days, it makes Harry Truman's Do Nothing Congress look like real go-getters.
That's correct.
Bridget, let's hear from another listener who worries about polarization's effect on representation. Tell us about Shannon Gebauer.
Shannon is from Toma, and again, here's what she said when we asked her if she feels reflected by her elected officials.
America is so divided right now that any elected official is only going to represent a fraction of his constituency. That's just the way it is.
Jonah, what about what Shannon has to say? How does polarization affect lawmakers and government?
Yeah, I think one of the big effects has been in the primaries. So in the primaries, it's not uncommon to have 5 to 10% of the electorate voting. And, of course, in many states, there's voter registration that requires you to list a party, and that's how you were able to vote in the primary. So what you have is a very small number of very ideologically driven folks determining who the candidate will be. And so I think that there's some merit to that in the sense that it causes candidates to move pretty far left or far right during those primaries. And of course, they're really not capturing those middle voters at that point.
Bridget Bowden of WPR News and Jonah Ralston of UW-Whitewater, stay with us. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Is political division the most or one of the most important issues to you in this election? And why would that be? 800-642-1234. Do you feel like your elected officials reflect you and the community you live in? Or does political divisiveness get in the way? 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. This election season, Wisconsin Public Radio is meeting people where they are in their communities to talk about the issues that matter most to them. As part of our ongoing conversations about Beyond the Ballot, we look at how Wisconsinites are affected by political division. Bridget Bowden of WPR News and Jonah Ralston of UW-Whitewater are our guides this hour on the topic of political divisiveness. Tell us what you think about this. Do you feel like your elected representatives represent you or only the people who supported them? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Bridget, bipartisanship is certainly on the wish list of a number of Wisconsinites. Tell us what Roger Corger had to say.
So Roger is from La Crosse, and that's exactly what he says he wants this election year. Let's take a listen.
To get the politicians to work together and not be so divisive. So if we can get people that can get other people across the aisle to work with them, that would be great.
Jonah, in a world of increased political polarization, how are discussions of bipartisanship playing out?
Yeah, I think it becomes increasingly difficult for politicians because, they do get punished at the polls for these kinds of things these days. So it's interesting, right? You see this phenomenon where people express a desire for it, but then if these politicians don't vote for, in the particular way that they want, and they end up compromising, they can actually get punished pretty severely for that. So you see a lot of talk of wanting this, but I'm not sure that the politicians sense that they'll be rewarded for it.
Let's take a phone call. Lisa joins us from Wausau this morning. Lisa, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. What I had called about was a couple things that seem kind of menial to me, but I think it would be very important. One is just the seating of Congress. They divide it to the Democrat side and the Republican side. If they were seated so that they were sitting next to each other and mingling and talking, maybe something as simple as that could help. Also, the media, it seems like the more that's repeated, seems like the more that we know. And it's always repeated about how divided it is. And I know there's got to be a tricky balance there because you're wanting to report, but it would be nice if there was more focus on where they are working together because that's more of what we as the public would know then.
Okay. Lisa, thanks for that. Let's go to Jeremy quickly in Racine, and then our guests can respond. Jeremy, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for my call. I think the political divide has been contributed to three things that I've noticed over the last 8 years or so. One, a lot of the narrative is set by the politicians that we elect. They set the tone, they set the narrative, and people become, the constituents become their echo chambers of the politicians. They're trying to do their best to create a narrative to get their agenda passed, and oftentimes people are misled to believe everything they say, so they begin to believe everything they say. Second is social media. I think social media is playing a really big role in people's decision on how they go to the polls and what their political views are and values. And thirdly, I notice a lot of people are not taking time out to actually fact-check our politicians. Get informed before you make a decision. It just seems that it's too easy to jump on your Facebook, read a few posts that are sent by third-party media giants, politicians setting out their narrative, and that's it. They don't start searching the web, looking at WikiLeaks or Wikipedia or Political Facts or anything. They're not taking the time out to inform themselves on what is really going on.
Okay. Jeremy, thanks. I want to get Jonah Ralston's response to this. Are two of our listeners concerned about the role that media and particularly social media play here? What do you think of that, Jonah?
Yeah, I think we have to point to the changing media landscape as part of this, particularly when you think about the days of Walter Cronkite and, everybody was watching the same kind of news source, dealing with the same kind of facts. And then when you go to have a conversation with somebody, you're dealing with the same information. of course, we know now that many people are siloing off and they're just hearing the news that speaks to what view they want to see or hear. And so that, of course, changes the nature of our discussions with one another when we're dealing with different sources of information, particularly when those sources of information are just confirming our pre-existing beliefs.
Bridget, some people bring President Trump up as part of this conversation. What are we hearing?
Yeah, a lot of people actually bring up the president when they're talking about this topic. And I should mention that there are people who voted for him and people who didn't vote for him. So here's LaVita Booker. She's from Milwaukee, and here's what she has to say.
He's a divider. He speaks of division. He doesn't speak of coming together. Every time you hear him tweeting, talking, it's all about divisiveness. It's never about nothing about unity, saying that's good, or it's always, oh, we hate these people, I hate these people, oh, these people make me sick, and he shouldn't be like that because that's causing division.
Jonah, President Trump aside, are we seeing similar feelings about division on the national level?
Yeah, I think we are, and I do think that sometimes divisive leaders can be a consequence of political polarization rather than a cause, or both. And in this case, right, I don't think you have the leaders in Congress and the current president, that do seem to be more accepting of division. I don't think you're going to have that unless you already have the division present, right? They may contribute to it, but again, it does seem like they're more a consequence of it.
Let's take another call. This time we'll go to Muskego, and Troy is with us. Troy, good morning.
Good morning. I think the number one, and I think this is tied in with the Civil War, I think the number one thing it comes down to is I definitely feel that big money and corporations are direct link to our politicians. And because of this, we have a system that only caters to people with a lot of money. And it definitely feels like that. I think we have, especially in Wisconsin, we have currently, and even with our president, we have elitists, and we have people that are in office that are strictly working for big corporations. And there's this divide class where you're either pro-business and you look down on workers, or you're a worker and you're trying to be empowered as a worker, and it's really difficult to do that. So I think that's where our division comes up.
Troy, thanks a lot for that. Jonah Ralston?
Well, I think there's certainly some truth to what he has to say in regard to the influence of money also contributing to this. We know that there's a strong correlation between income inequality and political polarization, so that as we become more divided by socioeconomic status and income and wealth, that we also become more politically divided. And to his point of, the average voter feeling that their view isn't represented, there's actually a pretty good opinion poll that has been asked from 1996 to 2010. And in 1996, when asked how much say do you have in what the government does, about half of people said not much, which, is concerning on its own, right? But when you get to 2010, that number rises to more than two-thirds, 70%. And I imagine if you took it now, it might even be higher than that.
Bridget, let's turn to what it means for future generations, something Pam Kleiss raised during her Beyond the Ballot conversation. Bridget, tell us more.
Yeah, Pam is from Madison, and she is really concerned about political division, and here's why.
How we build a world for our children where they can grow up strong, independent, and financially stable. I think it's increasingly difficult to have good conversations about our future generation because there's so much divisiveness in the media and in the political climate.
Jonah, give us an idea. Given what the data shows us, is political division going to get better or worse?
Oh, gosh. Well, we certainly hate to make predictions these days after a little bit of egg on our face in 2016 for most analysts. But I will say that the trends are concerning, right? They're not moving in the direction of suggesting that there's going to be less division anytime in the near future. And certainly young people are worried about a number of things, one being that, it does look like that they may be financially worse off than their parents. And that's not happened in some decades since that's been the case.
Now, Bridget, for those who want to share their thoughts about political polarization or just get involved in Beyond the Ballot, what can they do?
They can go to our website. That's WPR.org/ballot, and there's a form there they could fill out. We are trying to get to 500 interviews by the election, so we would love it if people would reach out to us to participate. We want to hear what you have to say.
And give that website one more time.
It's WPR.org/ballot.
All right, Bridget Bowden, a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News and project manager of Beyond the Ballot. Jonah Ralston is an assistant professor of political science at UW-Water. Thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up next, what is the role of celebrity endorsements in today's politics? We'll explore that coming up next, and we want to hear from you. Do you care if a celebrity endorses a political candidate or makes a political statement? Does it affect your opinion or even perhaps how you vote? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. I'm John Munson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Eau Claire musical group Bon Iver announced that it was playing a benefit concert for U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin's campaign. Taylor Swift recently endorsed two Democrats running in Tennessee and urged her fans to get out and vote. Do celebrity endorsements actually matter, though? Well, that's the question we'll ask and hopefully answer this morning. Do you care if a celebrity endorses a political candidate or makes a political statement? Does it affect your opinions or maybe even how you vote? Do you think it's appropriate for celebrities to make political statements, and why or why not? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Cameron Easley is an editor at Morning Consult. He leads coverage of campaigns, politics, and sports. Welcome, Cameron.
Thanks for having me.
And Joanna Piacenza is a senior reporter for Morning Consult. Joanna, thanks for being with us.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Cameron, on the whole, do voters seem to care about political endorsements in general?
I think when you look at the range of data, voters tend not to care about celebrity endorsements quite as much as they might as your typical endorsement from your, you know, your politician, your local elected representative. But, you know, endorsements in general, you're going to want to use them in a targeted manner to turn out a specific type of voter or group. And in that regard, a celebrity endorsement on a case-by-case basis can have value.
And Joanna, how do people feel about celebrities in particular getting political?
Well, you know, the public is pretty divided on this, as they seem to be about a lot of things. About half say that they do want to hear celebrity opinions about political and social issues, and about half say that they don't think that these celebrities should be using their platform to say those types of opinions. So it really depends. I think this plays better for Democrats. Democrats tend to be more okay with celebrities using their platforms, whether that's speaking out on red carpets, whether that's doing Instagram posts like Taylor Swift. They seem to be more okay than Republican voters with celebrities using their stardom to get out issues that matter and to even endorse candidates.
But overall, what portion of people said that celebrity opinions would actually sway their vote in the upcoming midterms, Joanna?
Now, this is interesting. So a quarter of the population, 25%, said that celebrity opinions are effective in influencing their midterm vote. Now, I think that's quite high, and it's even higher among Gen Z. It's 36%. So almost 4 in 10 Gen Z adults, those are age 18 to 21, those that can vote, said that those opinions are going to influence their vote. Now, what they need to do, what all voters need to do, and what Gen Z voters need to do, is take those opinions, whether it's Amy Schumer speaking out about gun control, or Natalie Portman speaking out about gender equality and pay equality, and take those issues and see which candidates in their state match those. So it requires the voter to do a little bit of research. So although I think that 25% is quite high, it's going to be a little bit lower when it actually comes down to doing the research that you need to do in order to vote for the right candidate.
Did any of those numbers surprise you?
I was surprised by the 25%. I think that's quite high. I think that if a quarter of the population is saying that celebrity opinions are influential, I think that that shows just how much stardom and how much power these celebrities have. I wasn't too surprised that the public was divided, you know, on mm-hmm. celebrity stances. We seem to be divided about a lot of things. So I think the one that surprised me was that a quarter of the population said that, yeah, celebrities are going to influence me in November.
And people also seem to be okay, Joanna, with celebrities speaking out about certain political issues but not others. Break that down for us.
Yeah, so they're okay with celebrities taking on softer issues, things like encouraging people to register to vote. 71% of Americans said that that's appropriate for celebrities to speak out on. Another 70% said that speaking out about sexual harassment, you know, in the Me Too era, that's something that they feel as though celebrities can take on. But then you get to more divisive issues in the country overall, such as supporting the wall between the U.S.-Mexico border, supporting transgender individuals' right to use the bathroom of their choice. That's where you see an equal number of Americans saying it's appropriate for celebrities to speak out on this, as an equal number saying that it's inappropriate. It's also, we're seeing similar numbers for support and criticism of President Trump. That's some of the most divisive issues. So celebrities, for the most part, should stay away from mentioning Trump in any of their rhetoric.
Cameron Easley and Joanna Piacenza are of Morning Consult are our guests this hour. We're talking about celebrity endorsements and whether they matter. Do you care about celebrity endorsements? 800-642-1234. Let's turn to a caller now. Rose joins us from Rice Lake. Hi, Rose.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, I do like the idea of celebrities giving their opinions because with the social media that's out there and how much it gets used by celebrities' followers and the younger generation, I think, is hesitant to vote or doesn't keep up on stuff like that. But if they have a celebrity that they admire and they respect their opinions and talk, I think that it helps them get the confidence to do go vote where they normally might not. So I think that's okay.
All right, Rose, thanks for sharing that perspective. Joanna, before Rose's call, you mentioned avoiding mention of President Trump, but some are working with him, like Kanye West. Let's go to Nate in Milwaukee next. Nate, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you. I was actually going to mention Kanye West. I don't usually pay attention to celebrity endorsements, but I think people who follow them, like the previous caller said, might be empowered to get out there and vote. And sometimes I do listen because I'll be informed about something by what they say when they endorse. I thought Kanye West was interesting earlier last week when he said that Foxconn would bring 4,000 jobs. And that struck me because 13,000 had been promised. So maybe it was revealing in a way it's kind of with the tradition of Scott Walker, where he promises one thing and something else happens. Like,
all right. And Nate, thanks for the perspective. We had Nate and Rose. Rose saying, yeah, celebrity endorsements are okay. Nate pointing out that sometimes the celebrities are wrong. Cameron, what do you care to comment on our last two callers here?
So regarding Kanye West, we tested the value of his endorsement earlier this year, back at the very beginning of the year, before any of this, Trump connection, Dragon Energy storyline got going. And basically what we found is that he was pretty toxic among Republicans and independents. Independents said they were 29 points less likely to vote for a candidate endorsed by Kanye West. Republicans were 47 points less likely to vote for a candidate who was endorsed by Kanye West. And you didn't get any kind of uptick really significant uptick among Democrats. Now, obviously, I would think that those numbers have changed a little bit after the past few news cycles between Trump and Kanye. But I think this is probably a good example of an endorsement that really isn't that helpful. You know, if you look at the way the president performed with black voters in 2016, it wasn't good. We have seen Kanye's comments provoke a backlash from, you know, the African-American talking heads and commentariat, and as well as backlash on social media. So it kind of seems like there wasn't a whole lot for the president to gain there.
Cameron, last week, Taylor Swift came out in favor of two Tennessee Democrats and urged people to vote in a long Instagram post. After that, over 150,000 people registered on vote.org in a three-day period. That said, those numbers cannot be directly attributed to Taylor Swift, as they weren't tracked or specified. But what struck you here, Cameron?
Well, I think it's pretty interesting because Taylor Swift has been very loath to enter the fray when it comes to political issues. She's been pretty meticulous in keeping her image in a way so that she can, you know, promote to appeal to all kinds of Americans and help sell records. I do think from a political perspective, this Taylor Swift endorsement could have something of a boomerang effect and end up harming Democratic chances in the state. I think Phil Bredesen, you know, as a former governor and Democrat in the state, kind of wants to run an under the radar campaign all the way through Election Day. His opponent, Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, is not particularly popular in the state, even among Republican voters. And I think anything that is going to nationalize the race, give Republicans a talking point, like, you know, Phil Bredesen is in league with Hollywood liberals like Taylor Swift, I think that could end up being more damaging to his candidacy on the whole.
And Joanna, the way people feel about celebrities getting political is similar to how they think about brands and companies getting political. I'll give you the last word. Just quickly explain that.
Well, I think more and more, as we see more celebrities come forward and give their opinions on, you know, where we are politically, we're realizing that brands are doing the same thing, and we expect our brands in a lot of ways to be like people. We want them to have stances on same-sex marriage. We want them to, you know, take a stance on climate change, et cetera. So more and more we want these public figures to be like people and to have opinions just like we do.
We're talking about whether or not celebrity endorsements matter, and our conversation will continue. What do you think about this issue? 800-642-1234. Cameron Easley is an editor at Morning Consult. He leads coverage of campaigns, politics, and sports. Joanna Piacenza is a senior reporter with Morning Consult. They stay with us on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. How much do celebrity political endorsements matter these days? That's what we're talking about on The Morning Show this morning. Does the opinion of a celebrity or on political issues matter to you? Does it influence how you vote? 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Cameron Easley is an editor at Morning Consult. He leads coverage of campaigns, politics, and sports. Joanna Piacenza is a senior reporter for The Morning Call. Let's start out this segment with a phone call from Kenosha, where Mary Kay is on the line. Mary Kay, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. I don't follow any endorsements. Endorsements issues are not important to me. I follow my own issues.
All right. Mary Kay, thanks. Cameron, when it comes to being swayed by political endorsements, how many people out there are like Mary Kay? They really don't care.
I mean, again, it just sort of depends on the situation. You know, if you're if you're a Democrat or a Republican, then, you know, an endorsement from the other party is going to have a negative effect. And there are very few political figures in general that can appeal to a broader audience. One of the interesting things we found in the survey from January this year was that among independent voters, it was actually your spouse was the most consequential endorsement that held more value. So, I mean, I think a lot of this has to do with how involved you are politically in the first place. I think speaking with respect to Tammy Baldwin and the Bon Iver concert, you know, it seems like the goal here for the Baldwin campaign is to reach some people that may not necessarily be involved with the political process. The youngest voters tend to turn out at the lowest rates when it comes to midterm elections, especially when it comes to in comparison with the older population. If you look back at the 2016 presidential election and the postmortem conducted by Democrats, people were rather critical of Hillary Clinton's decision not to spend much time in Madison and help energize younger voters. So it looks like in the case of this weekend's event, that's designed to correct that sort of thing.
It seems like whether political endorsements from celebrity, whether they're coming from other public figures or celebrities, independents are the most difficult to sway, partisans more likely to be influenced. Cameron, any thoughts on why that is?
Well, I think partisans, you know, they identify with people, with a certain type of person. That's, you know, it kind of makes perfect sense, right? Independents are independent. They're less likely to be swayed by others.
Let's take another call here. Jimmy joins us from Valley Junction. Jimmy, go ahead.
Morning. Yeah, I think, you know, celebrities have just as much right to use their megaphone as anybody else, but I don't put much stock in them. I find the celebrities, the bigger they get, the further from reality they are, and so they probably don't have a whole lot of common with me. I'm more disturbed about the focus on the horse race all the time. I don't know if I hear another poll about who's more excited about the election, I think I'll throw up. We don't seem to get into the meat of the issues anymore. Like, for example, just an example, the $250,000 job thing that Walker promised at the end of his first term, and here we're at the end of his second, hasn't met it. You don't hear anything about that. And I'll take my comments.
All right, Jimmy, thanks a lot. Before we comment on Jimmy's, let's take Sandra in Mount Pleasant next. Sandra, go ahead.
Good morning. The person sitting in the Oval Office is a celebrity, and the people who go to his rallies are totally enamored by him, and they don't really care about facts.
Okay. All right. Contrast Jimmy and Sandra's comments. Cameron, Trump polled pretty high among Republicans, but special elections have shown that his endorsement isn't necessarily enough.
Yeah, well, I think the story of the Trump presidency so far and what that's meant for Republicans down the ballot has been that he is incredibly popular among Republican voters, in fact, even more popular among his own base than some previous Republican presidents. But when you look at his numbers among the broader electorate, he's actually quite toxic. So while you have seen Republican lawmakers in primaries across the country spent you know the summer talking about how they were the quote, Trumpiest candidate. That really could end up coming back to bite them whenever it comes down to November 6th. One thing that we've been tracking over time here at Morning Consult is whether voters think Republicans in Washington represent whether the president represents the majority viewpoint of Republicans in Washington. And essentially we have seen as time has gone on, that number has gotten higher and higher, that voters across the country are linking the president and Republicans in Congress together. Now, when the president is popular, that's a very good thing. But when the president is unpopular, it's not. And that's a big headwind for Republicans on the ballot in the midterms next month.
Joanna, even though political endorsements aren't always effective and in some cases can harm a candidate's chances, they're always part of campaigns. What makes for an effective political endorsement?
Well, I think the first thing is those endorsements are more effective if you're a Democratic candidate. Hollywood overall is perceived as slightly more liberal than the public. We did a great poll on this where we asked people to, on a scale of 1 to 10, name the ideology of the country and name the ideology of Hollywood. And Hollywood was seen as 2 points more progressive, more liberal than the public overall. So I think the first thing is be a Democratic candidate, and that's when you can start speaking to more celebrities. I think there's some doubt from more Republican voters over why candidates need celebrity endorsements. I heard that a little bit from one of the callers who said that they don't follow endorsements at all. My guess would be maybe that they're independent or Republican. So I think the first thing is to be a Democrat, and the second thing is to just, you know your audience and be a little bit more targeted, like Cameron was saying. You know, understand that Bon Iver is going to do very well for Tammy Baldwin, you know, in the state of Wisconsin. But if she had chosen someone like, I don't know, the Koch brothers or some other candidate or some other figure that's less appealing to the audience that she's trying to reach, it's just not going to be as successful.
Let's get one more call in here. We'll go to Barb in Green Bay. Barb, good morning. Let us know what you think.
I just wanted to say that if one includes the late night talk show comedians and cable news comedians, I believe that a number of people are being influenced because that's where they get their main political news.
All right, Barb, thanks a lot for that. Joanna, what do you think? Late-night talk shows influence on our youth?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm seeing people like Stephen Colbert, John Oliver have taken a very critical stance of President Trump in the last, you know, year and a half. And, you know, the criticism has drawn criticism in and of itself. Some of it's been a little bit harsh. Some of it's been quite honest. I think younger people especially are getting a lot of their news from these shows and from social media. So that's definitely a very rich place for information for younger voters.
All right. Quickly, we've got about 30 seconds left. Cameron, what are you watching for now when it comes to celebrity endorsements the rest of this campaign season?
I think I'd really just like to add one more point to what Joanna was just saying. It really depends on the type of endorsement. In terms of the late night hosts, Sean Hannity is about as influential among Republican voters as the Speaker of the House.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Cameron. I'm sorry, we're just out of time. Cameron Easley, editor at Morning Consult, and Joanna Piacenza is a senior reporter at Morning Consult. Thank you to both of you for joining us this morning.
Yep.
I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.